Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me on today's show is senior industry analyst for Covers.com, Jason Logan. You can follow him on Twitter at CoversJLo. Jason, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me, and a big congrats to you, of course. I mean, your new dad, which is going to layer in a whole new world for you, buddy. So congrats to you. And you're about to get some of the best and worst moments of your life right now. But it's one of the greatest rides you're going to go on.
Thank you very much. And to give a quick heads up, the reason I did a solo episode last week is because my wife was about to have our first child, didn't know when that was going to be. But I said, you know what? I am here for the people who listen to this podcast. Let me get something out one way or another, because I pride myself on consistency and one little quick nugget. So my wife said ahead of time, man, it would have been great if we went into labor on Sunday, because we could watch football all day and labor takes like an entire day. Well, guess what ended up happening? She went into labor on Thursday, and this runs into Thursday night. And what comes on TV? Here comes Colts game where Colts Jets, and I'm like, I've got the Colts money line. I've got Jonathan Taylor. I've got Michael Carter. So this thing just drug on. And it just so happened I brought my iPad with me to read. Well, guess what was also on? Penguins Flyers. Boom. Penguins score within 14 seconds of the game starting. I've got two screens, and my wife's like, are you planning on watching sports this entire time? I was like, no, babe, I'm here for the important part. But until then, maybe we'll watch a little bit of these games.
Hey, man, you're going to listen. They all better be winners, because you're going to need all that money from here on out. Diapers alone. Diapers. And then wait until you get into like formula and baby clothes. They start growing like exponentially every week. I hope you know, have some friends down there, or you can get some hand-me-downs and stuff. But yeah, that's great news. My daughter was born on a bye week for the Cowboys, so that's why she's one of my favorites. So
nice. And speaking of formula, so what we're going to do today, we're going to do a quick recap of week nine.
That was a good segue.
Very nice segue. Woo-hoo. Quick recap of week nine, the lessons we learned, and then look ahead to week 10. And what is the formula you and I are using to create the bets that we do? Because week nine was a train wreck. 0-3 with my picks. And this is two consecutive rough weeks. And we look at this, Jason, and the interesting thing was the double-digit favorites, three out of the four, lost in my big Mick Moneyline parlay. So we see these earth-shattering things, survivor pools just going to the wayside. Yeah. But here's what's interesting. A few weeks ago, I had Jay Cornegay on the podcast where we were talking about how the book was getting destroyed by the public. So in the matter of 4 weeks, we have gone from auto bet on the double digit favorites to two consecutive weeks where the double digit favorites are now losing outright. So you know what this says to me? You've got to double down on your process, because this is nothing new in the world of sports betting. The ebbs and flows happen every single year.
Yeah, and these things tend to correct each other. Generally, you have these trends. And right now, I mean, underdogs are hot. Underdogs, I think, are covering at just under 58% right now for the season. And as a guy who writes a weekly underdog column, every week I'm just waiting for the bottom to fall out on that. And the underdogs went, I think, 10-3 last week, did really, really well. So I did okay for my column. I had some other side bets that didn't do so well. I had the Eagles, who's like the one team I can't figure out. Who else did I have? I had the Rams against the Titans. I did, however, have Kansas City at Pick'em. And I got them the second the Aaron Rodgers news came out, and banged them at Pick'em a couple times. I had to get a couple bets in at Pick'em, unloaded the clip on Kansas City. And that was a pretty sweaty game. So week nine wasn't a disaster for me. I had some underdog winners. Funny enough, it was San Francisco, the one team that I had the best closing line value on. I had them, I think I got them at +2.5. I got them at +1. And then they closed like -4. The week before, it was Minnesota. I had Minnesota +2.5. That's the team that was +2.5. They went all the way to -4 against Dallas for the Sunday night game when Dak was ruled out. And then they crapped the bet as well, too. So, like you said, it's a wild week over the last couple of weeks. But the process does tend to balance itself out, which means you can't just kind of rely on one form of handicapping to get it done. And I kind of look at a bunch of different things when I'm getting ready to get bets in.
So there's an unpredictability to this. So one of the things that I want to share that's a huge asset to the way that I create my process, there's a great book out there called Thinking in Bets by Andy Duke, who is the poker player. And there's a concept called resulting. And what it says is creating too tight of a relationship between the quality of the outcome and the quality of your decision. Because so many people use the outcome to determine, well, did you do the correct thing? And the perfect example she gives is in Texas Hold'em getting pocket aces. It is the best hand that you can get pre-flop. But guess what? You are still going to lose with pocket aces. Or Jason, in your standpoint, that 49ers game. Yeah. And we even talked about it each of the last 2 weeks. Free money games. Boom, 49ers go from 2.5 dogs to -4, free money. Well, guess what? It didn't work there. So a lot of people are resulting being like, how in the world are you guys' picks losing? The key right now is to understand your decision-making process. So does it feel good to lose 2 consecutive weeks? No. Do I feel bad on my process? Not one bit, because fundamentally it's why I hammer home process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, like you said, it is those times where you definitely get the best of the number. You look back and you're like, what could I have done different? And you didn't do anything different. And some of those results were kind of freak results. You had backup QBs in there just making it shine. And then you had backup running backs in there, Adrian Peterson getting it done with Tennessee. And then, Arizona with Colt McCoy getting it done as well, too. So it's, some of these things that you go against convention some of the time. Sometimes you go with it and you're on the wrong side of it. Happens. It's NFL betting. It's very, very difficult. For me, I don't put my eggs all in one basket. There's a bunch of different handicapping methods that I lay out when I'm picking. And funny enough, it kind of works with the way that I do things as I release content with covers. Sunday nights, I put out bet now, bet later line. So I look at the opening numbers and I take a look at those. I look at the recent results, how the betting public has treated those teams recently, look at their kind of public perception of those teams hot off the presses, games just finished a few, like an hour ago, as these lines are coming out, and then where those lines are going to go. So then I also look at the early action coming in and dictating, what's the VIG moving to? Is it going from -110 to -115 to -120? What's the public perception on this team? Okay, so if they're a favorite of 2.5 and that's starting to tick up already and they're on a 3-game winning streak and off an impressive win on Sunday, then we know that one's going to go to 3. So you definitely, if you want to play that favorite, you want to get them now. If you're on the other side, you feel like the other side of that, definitely you want to play them later and get the better of the number. And then I have my spot bets article, which comes out on Mondays, and I kind of run down the schedule. And I'm a big situational handicap believer. I love situational handicapping. It really, it gets you outside of thinking like, out of the advanced analytics and, in the methodical models and all those type of things that people love to base stuff on, which I do use. I like I said, it's kind of a fruit salad of handicapping, everything that I kind of throw in there. But with the situational handicapping, you can find edges and value that you may not recognize or pick up using statistics and stuff like that. Whether it's a team, hitting the road for the second straight game, or they have a big game the next week and it's a look ahead spot, or they're coming off like the Jets last week, coming off that letdown again after that big win. Who do they play? Who do they beat? Cincinnati. They played Cincinnati, beat Cincinnati, short week to get over that win. And then they play the Colts, who were pissed off after losing to Tennessee. And that one was a pretty easy winner right there with the Colts. But there's just a few like this week. Everyone's very high on Baltimore for the Thursday night game. This is a kind of a rare spot for them, for Baltimore. This is technically, I think this is only their fourth road game of the entire year. And it's their first road game in almost 40 days. And so you get used to those comforts of home, guys sleeping in their own bed, and the way they've been able to produce stats and all the stats and statistics that are going to be baked into these lines. This -7.5, but I think it opened 7, went to 7.5. That's all based off the last 3 or 4 games for the most part, all of those which came at home. That's not to say that they don't go in there and just roll over Miami on a short week, but it's a big, big change in environment and a change in situation for this team that may have got a little comfortable been playing at home. And we've seen Baltimore play some very uneven games, whether that's collapsing late or having to rally after a slow start. And Miami's one of those weird defenses that can, pull a 3 interceptions or a fumble in a takeaway or run one back on a kickoff return. Like they're a strange team that picks up points in different ways as well, too. Of course, I haven't heard any updates on Tua's finger. He was kind of day-to-day, but that's one of those situational things that I look at. I'm like, you know what? I'm cautious of Baltimore. I'm cautious of the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone's expecting a big bounce back there. They have a trip to Arrowhead next week. They're playing Atlanta. Atlanta, obviously, everyone's kind of, the Atlanta Falcons. But the Atlanta Falcons are playing really, really well right now. Their offense and their passing offense humming along, too, despite the fact that Calvin Ridley's not there. And then what was my other one? I can't remember. There's so many games that you line up. My letdown spot was – what was my letdown? It was Denver. It's Denver. Connected to that one against Philadelphia. They're back home. They're playing Philly. And Philly's a weird offense to plan for, too. They're an RPO heavy team. And they've kind of struggled with their identity for the first chunk of the season. But the last three games, they've become this run heavy attack. The second Miles Sanders gets hurt, they finally start running the ball. And they have this nice little three-headed monster of Howard and Boston Scott and Jalen Hurts right now that's picking up gains. And their defense is kind of fits that Denver team too, because their defense really plays for everything underneath. It doesn't let anything over the top. And then Denver has some problems on the offensive line as well too. So it's going to be a really interesting game, but Denver is a team that I'm looking at in a letdown spot after what should have been a 30-0 win over Dallas. I mean, Dallas picked up 16 points at garbage time. So it kind of made that final score look a little better than it really, really was.
So, Jason, I've got three games that I identified, and I'm thinking very similar to you. So I'm looking to fade teams off big wins and beyond teams off of big losses, also looking at the numbers. First one I identified, Saints at Titans, Titans laying 2.5 at home. And I looked at that, and it's like, 2.5 seems like a pretty small number for a team that has just beaten the cream of the crop in the NFL. But as you dig a little bit deeper into this, the Saints defense, number one in the NFL against the rush, allowing 73.8 yards per game. So what does this mean? They're going to force Tennessee to throw the ball right there. Also, one of the stats that you give in your weekly recap, home favorites, 31-51 against the spread. Albeit, there are some places where you can pay up to get that -2.5 up to or +3 up to -120. For me, give me the Saints getting 2.5 on the road. I think this is an opportunity. I'm looking to fade the Titans. They're as high as can be, and I like the Saints with a good coach and a good run defense. Number two for me, and this does make me feel a little uncomfortable, Raiders at home, taking on the Chiefs. Chiefs laying 2.5, and give me the Raiders. And there's a great stat by Ben Fox, who has been on this podcast before. The Chiefs have covered just 4 of the last 20 games. They're 2-7 against the spread on the season and have an NFL worst margin of cover this season at -6.6 points per game. Division favorites this year, losing against the spread record. And for me, this is a fade more of the Chiefs than it is a vote of confidence for the Raiders. I've been on the Raiders, unfortunately, a couple of times this year. There's a weird juju with them, but there's a super weird juju with the Chiefs. And remember, last year, the Raiders did split with the Chiefs, so we know that they can beat them. And then lastly, I'm going back to what I said last week in the podcast, Colts laying 10, taking on the Jaguars. Give me the Colts again, because I said for the rest of the season, will betting against the Jaguars be a winning proposition? And I believe so. This is the ultimate fading a team off of a good victory standpoint. Colts 6-3 against the spread. Jags just 3-5. But here's the big one. Let's look at their points again. Point differential on the season. Colts +32. Jags -77. And I'm not going to be scared off by one or two bad weeks if the big favorites not covering. Give me the Colts. Any thoughts on those three games?
I've been a big fan of Tennessee, and because they've been able to get their passing game going, and it was something that they were kind of behind schedule on. They lost Arthur Smith to the Falcons. So that great play action attack wasn't there like it was before. And then they had some COVID issues earlier in the year, and they had injuries as well to AJ Brown and Julio Jones, which was kind of slowing down the progression of that passing game. And it started to pick up traction, and then they lost Derrick Henry, which obviously hurts the play action. So I don't really have, I haven't dove into that one yet. I will say New Orleans is huge off a loss. Right now, and if you look back, I think the last time they were off a loss was Washington, and they came back and covered that, I believe, I want to say. Yeah, Washington, and then they won and won. So New Orleans is 53-30 straight up in ATS off a loss since Sean Payton took over as coach in 2016. So they definitely are a big bounce back team. And then they lost that bad game against the Falcons last week. As far as Kansas City and Las Vegas goes, that one's a 2.5. That was my bet later line. And I was really expecting this one to go to 3. And I think it has at some sports books. You know, if you are playing Vegas, you definitely want to get them at 3. And there are some places out there that have it 3. For me, I mean, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop for Kansas City because it looks like they are improving on defense. You know, they had a good, I mean, while it was, you know, the backup for the Packers last week, they have improved on defense. And I forget who mentioned it this week. It was some beat reporter, and they were saying, like, if the biggest problem with the Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes, then that's a pretty easy problem to fix because that guy's going to get right. Like, he's too good a player just to all of a sudden fall off a cliff and be this terrible quarterback and have these turnover troubles. He's going to get right. So I am a little hesitant about fading Kansas City, especially with that one under a field goal. And Las Vegas being kind of, you know, completely erratic and a lot of off-field stuff also clouding what's happening in Las Vegas. This is a team that's still scrambling from the loss of John Gruden once they got outed because of the email thing. And then you got this terrible Henry Ruggs accident. And I think they just had another guy get in trouble as well, too. So, you know, there's a lot of off-field distractions going on with that Vegas team. What was your other one there? The
Colts. The
Jaguars. Laying 10. Jaguars and Colts. Laying 10 is great. It's up to 10.5 now. So if you can get it at that key number, that's much better than going at with the 10.5. You know, the Jags have to be in a letdown mode after the Bills there. In Indianapolis, they get that mini bye. So they're well-rested and they're well-prepared for Jacksonville as well, too. And they're not going to get caught sleeping. Generally, you would say, okay, maybe Indianapolis, you know, doesn't have their foot on the gas against a team like the Jaguars. But after what you saw the Jags do to the Bills last week, Indianapolis is not taking any chances here. And we've seen Indianapolis come up big against, you know, teams in which they were big favorites too. And they squashed the Jets there a week and a half ago.
So to recap that, give me the Saints plus 2.5, or if you can get that plus 3 with the extra juice, give me the Raiders plus 2.5. But I like Jason's idea, so I will be waiting on this to try and get a plus 3. Give me the Colts. I'm already locked in at minus 10. Jason, any final words before we wrap this up?
What's another one I really like this week? I mean, as far as underdogs go, like I said, I am hesitant of Dallas. As a Dallas fan, you can kind of see where these speed bumps come along and everyone's saying, oh, you know, it's just one bad game and Dak was rusty. And me, the fan in me hopes for that. But like I said, this Atlanta team is tough and playing really, really well, starting to find their form under Arthur Smith now. And the passing game is starting to pick up speed too. And Dallas's defense for the longest time was kind of hiding in the shadows, or maybe had a curtain pulled across it because it was getting all those takeaways. And that was really shrouding what was a bad, bad team. They give up, I think they're second in points allowed per play. You know, second most, which is a very bad stat to have against a team like Atlanta that can move the football. And then I do like Arizona. Arizona was my bet now spread. That one came out at 9.5. And I said, you know what, if you can get it at 9.5, great. If you can get it at 10, that's still fine because this one is going to go up. And now we're seeing 10.5 right now. Just, you know, we're still waiting on the official outcome for Murray and Hopkins and AJ Green to get those guys back. But you know what? Even if they don't get them back, Carolina is in rough shape. Sam Darnold's out. PJ Walker's in. There's not that much of a differential between those two in terms of point spread value. But Carolina has some big injuries on the offensive line, and they're taking on a really, really aggressive Arizona pass rush and a team that creates that chaos and then turns it into takeaways with interceptions and fumbles. So I like Arizona laying the points. Even at minus 10, I still think that's a pretty comfy bet. So that's, you know, that's one of those double-digit faves that I think will come through this week, and they're playing at home.
Yeah, fundamentally, you know what I like to do is not bet Colt McCoy laying 10 points in a football game. So while I understand everything that you just said, if it is Colt McCoy, I may be giving a second look to the Panthers. Doesn't mean I feel comfortable about it, but Colt McCoy, that was one nice victory there. I don't know, it was double digits. That's just a lot there. Jason, really enjoyed jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at CoversJLo. Usually I'm throwing out some interesting betting tidbits throughout the week. And then you can find all my stuff on Covers. So there's a whole bunch of Week 10 analysis there. My NFL underdogs picks will be coming out probably tomorrow morning. So keep an eye there. I think I'm not to say that taking the shine off of it, because underdogs have been really, really good, but I'm what, 18-9 right now for the season, which is pretty good. It's about 67% for the NFL underdog picks, which is pretty good.
We love to see that, and I would love to hear from you. What's your favorite bet of the weekend? Just send it over. You can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.